In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12. Have a lot of fun recapping all the great stuff that's going on in the Central Valley, in the Central section. We cover Fresno, Clovis, all the way to down to up to Chowchilla, I should say, down to Bakersfield area. And we actually have a great wide variety of topics to discuss today and people to converse with. Really looking forward to today's show. We got one more show next week before I take about a two-month break. We're going to be returning on August 9th. So one more show. Next week's show is going to be a wrap-up. I love to do best-of shows, my favorite things of the year. And I'm going to have a not-so-early football rankings as well next week. It's never too early to talk about football. So I'll have all that next week again. Before I take a break, recharge, and come back as strong as ever. So I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. No other place where I'd rather do my show, surrounded by the color schemes and the names of our local high schools around here. To my right, you got Hoover and Selma, Central, Kalinga, Woodlake. Why am I mentioning Woodlake? Well, we're going to have Woodlake on the show today. We've got Kerman, also Clovis North behind me, Clovis High, of course, Clovis West, Fresno High. This is your Letterman Jacket headquarters, and I wouldn't want to do my show from anywhere else but First String Sports. And obviously, they got tons of equipment as well. All right, so let's get into the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. Right now, what are we looking at? 79 degrees. Starting to heat up a little bit. 97 is the high. So it's hit, right? Central Valley weather has hit. Tuesday, we're going to hit triple digits. It's going to dip a little bit. But, I can definitely feel that Central Valley heat. It is definitely here to stay. All right, so this is the time where graduations are happening, grad parties. My daughter's graduating from Bullard High School, the last of my three daughters. Can't believe it. Tuesday is going to be graduation night for Bullard. Those wonderful ceremonies at the Save Mart Center, right? That you got to wade through a bunch of stuff before they finally mention your son or daughter's name. Grad party, ours is tomorrow, so we're getting the house ready. We got the pool all fixed up and retiled and all that good stuff. So, yeah, 'tis the season. It is the time. Grad parties and graduations and ceremonies and celebrations and all that fun stuff. So I know a lot of parents listening right now, a lot of coaches have some special people that are graduating, and then we come back and do it all over again. All right, so what do we got on the show today? So I mentioned that we got some Woodlake Tigers that we're going to be discussing. So fingers crossed, because the Woodlake softball team, they're on their way to Santa Maria right now. Just saw on Twitter about 9:30-ish, the caravan was leaving. They had the full police escort, the fire truck. There's actually a tow truck. They had a charter bus. So the Woodlake Tigers softball team are having a phenomenal season. They won the Central Section D4. They are traveling to play Pioneer Valley in the SoCal Regional Championship in Division 4. That game is going to be at 4 o'clock. So we got Coach Ramon Lara. Fingers crossed again. He's going to be able to join us from riding in that bus. And going to go take the rural routes to Santa Maria. We know where Woodlake is up there in the mountains. So, yeah, looking forward to talk to Coach Lara. They're having, like I said, one of the greatest seasons in Woodlake history. I know there's a lot of history in the 80s with wonderful softball programs. You remember Kerry Deaver, Margie Wright's first recruit to Fresno State. She was an All-American softball pitcher. She's a Woodlake legend. But, yeah, they're having a really special season at Woodlake. So Coach Lara is going to be joining us, fingers crossed, on that one. After that, speaking of another great season, you guys have been following Corcoran baseball, 27-4, won the D5 Central Section Championship. They 10-run shafter, 18-8. They're playing Pioneer, not Pioneer Valley, but there's another school called Pioneer today at home for the SoCal Regional Championship in D5. So Alan Shaw is coming on the show. And, again, he's one of those old school kind of guys. We found out like yesterday after texting each other, I competed against him. He went to Lindsay High. He's a Lindsay graduate 1990. I said, yeah, I graduated in 89. Your name sounds familiar. So, yeah, we connected and found out we played baseball and basketball against each other. So looking forward to talk to Coach Shaw. Corcoran's having a phenomenal season. They got a stud freshman. This kid is 12-1, pitched in the Central Section Championship game, got a win. So, yeah, looking forward to talking to him. At the top of hour number two, this is going to be the final appearance of McKay Madsen. He's coming on the show one last time. Talked about him a lot over the years, and for good reason. Stud football player, four-star guy, headed to BYU. But he is the first track and field athlete in California history. Actually, 103 years. Sorry, it's been 103 years since somebody has defended their discus and shot put championship, which McKay did last week at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Just one of the greatest athletes in Central Section history as far as accolades, right? It's McKay's final appearance here. I think this might be his fifth time total coming on the show. And he's bringing a friend. Connor Lott is a state champion as well in the 1600. Ran a 4:03-something, incredible time, which was good for fifth best in the nation. And McKay's throws were like third best in the nation and fourth best in the nation. So we got some national level competitors coming in. Looking forward to talking to both those guys. Connor is a great kid as well. He's only a junior. So really looking forward to talking to those guys at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour two, Greg Clark. He's the athletic director at Clovis South. They are the Longhorns. He's going to come and talk about literally starting an athletic program from scratch. I personally know next to nothing about what's going on at Clovis South as far as their athletic department. I got a ton of questions for Greg. They're starting with 7th through 9th graders. I do know that. I don't know how far the gym is, if they're going to have a pool on campus, stadium plans, how many coaches does he have in place. Obviously starting with 9th graders, so they're not going to have varsity sports yet. What are the coaches going to be placeholders before they name a director of sport for a lot of sports? So, yeah, that's going to be really, really informative. Looking forward to talking with Greg. All right, so a couple news and notes, and I got some state track and field results from some of our Central Section athletes. But tomorrow's a city-county baseball game, 6 o'clock at Chickchansey Park. Derek Kuhn is one of the coaches from Liberty Madera. He's actually stepping into administrative role next year. He's no longer going to be coaching baseball. And Brad Fonts from Buchanan is going to be the city coach. I remember seeing videos. I wasn't able to go last year, but it's still a big deal. There are a lot of people at last year's city-county baseball game. Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm going to check that out. There's a couple of my daughter's friends that are playing that out from Bullard High School, so it's going to be a cool deal tomorrow at 6. City County football slated for June 20th at Collegian Stadium. It's not at McLean this year. I don't want to speak ahead of this, but Phil Benatti and I have been talking, and a good chance we're going to be broadcasting that game. We've done it for the last, I think, 3 years, broadcast City County football. So, yeah, don't want to say it's official yet, but really good chance we're going to be broadcasting that game. All right, so I mentioned Corcoran and their baseball game today at 4 o'clock in the SoCal Regional Championship. Fowler season came to an end yesterday. They played at number one Roseville and lost 8-2, but a great season for the Red Cats, Division III champs, won the first round of state playoffs in a home game 2-1. But Bill Fever, was on the show a couple weeks ago. Bubba Smith, really good player. Just a great season for Fowler. One of the all-time best seasons in Fowler history. We know how storied that program is. Ridgeview. How about Ridgeview, who defeated Kingsburg in the D2 championship game in the Central Section? They are playing today. They won yesterday, and they got to come back, and they're going to be playing for their SoCal championship in Division III. They're going to be playing at number one Banning today at 4 o'clock. So how about Ridgeview? Congrats to them. And I did mention Woodlake and Pioneer Valley today. We'll go hopefully talk to Coach Lara here in just a second. That's seeding there. Woodlake should be having a home game in softball. That game, Corcoran's at home in their baseball championship, but Woodlake should be the top seed, in my opinion. I don't understand how Pioneer Valley was the one seed. Pioneer Valley lost in their Central Section championship game. They lost 12-6 to Liberty in D3. Dropped down to D4 as the number one seed ahead of Woodlake, who only had one loss on the year. Don't get that one. I don't understand that one. So, yeah, they're playing today. Who knows? That might be a little point of motivation that Coach Lara is going to bring to his team. All right, so I definitely want to give some love to the Central Section competitors in the state track and field meet. The boys in the 400, E.J. Morgan and Brandon Smith of Central, they play 6th and 7th. They ran in the low 47s. Those guys are super stud football players. Talk about speed. Central's going to be scary next year. They're going to have two guys on their team that are running in the low 47s in the 400. That's blazing, blazing fast. We'll see where Central is in my Central Section football rankings next week. I think pretty much everybody knows where I'm going to go with that. I mentioned Connor Lott. Well, Buchanan's Luke Sanders ran a great race in that 1600 as well. He placed third. Also from Buchanan, Hudson Hergenrader placed 7th in the hurdles, 110 hurdles, and 5th in the 300. He's going to Fresno Pacific. The Buchanan boys placed 5th in a 4x1. Central placed 2nd in a 4x4. That was a really good race. They ran a good time. And Menachi from Porterville placed 7th in the 4x8. And I mentioned McKay Madsen, the double winner in the shot and discus. Just about 3 feet under the state meet record with his discus throw of 210, 8 inches. Achieved the feat, hadn't been done, like I mentioned, 103 years. In the girls, Gabby Belly from Buller placed 5th in the 400. Sierra Cornett from Buchanan got 7th in the 1600. And Isabella Ramirez, another Buller track and field star, placed 7th in the 3200. And Sophia Lopes from Central, 7th in the 100 and 300 hurdles. And Clovis North girls had some pretty good relay performances. He placed 8th in the 4x1, 7th in the 4x4, and the 4x8, 5th, and the Buchanan placed 6. All right, a little wrap-up of some of the good things from last weekend. When we come back, we're going to try to connect the best we can with Woodlake coach Ramon Lara. They are on their way to play in the SoCal Championship to Santa Maria. So hopefully we can be able to talk to Coach Lara. He's got a really, really good story. And, looking forward to listening to all the good things that he has to say. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, some Scorpions there to bring us in. Mentioned the great season that the Woodlake Tigers are having with their softball program. They're on the road right now. They're headed to Santa Maria. Going to be taking on Pioneer Valley for the D4 SoCal title. They are also the Central Section champs. Only one loss on the season. Coach Lara, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it. I know you're on that charter bus. I saw that cool video that your principal posted on Twitter. But do you know exactly where you are? If you look out the window, where are you right now on the road?
We're on the road here, about to get on the 5, so about halfway there.
All right, cool. So explain that send off that you guys had with the fire trucks and the people lined up along the streets and the police escort. Talk about how cool of a moment that was for you guys.
Yeah, that's something that everybody comes out and supports, all our sports during the year. So They're super excited.
What did you guys have breakfast this morning anywhere, or what did that look like when everyone gathered and get ready? Could you just feel the excitement?
Oh, 100%. We had a really good turnout. You know, a few of the parents on the team put some breakfast together, some bowls together for the girls, so they're eating that on the bus, and we'll stop for lunch here in a couple hours.
So describe more the mood of the girls. Is it just nervous energy? Are they excited? Are they focused? What's it like for them right now on the bus?
Yeah, it's a quiet bus. I think it's a focus that they have. A group of girls have been together for a while, so they enjoy each other's company, but they know when it's, you know, time to get into the moment of competing, and, you know, they're getting ready for that.
Awesome. All right, so game plan against Pioneer Valley. What do you know about this team?
You know, Pioneer Valley is a great program. They competed at a high level for years now. I think this year they lost in the Division III title game. So we watched some video on them. They remind me a lot of us, right? They have girls that swing you well on both sides of the plate, good pitching, good defense. So we expect a competitive game.
So you guys obviously have about a three-hour drive, and you guys are traveling on the road. You guys are the two seed. They are the one seed. I mentioned in my opener, right, this is just my opinion. I don't understand how they were the one seed and you guys were the two seed, especially with only one loss on the year. Pioneer Valley has 12 losses on this season. Did you use that as a motivation at all? You're like, hey, guys, we are the two seed. We're traveling. Like, that should be us. They should be traveling to us. Or are you just like, hey, we're just going there to play softball? How did you use that angle?
Yeah, for us, it's been about us all year, right? We don't really worry about the other team. We worry about ourselves, and, you know, we prepare accordingly. So it's not about who we're playing. It's about us playing our game.
All right, I want to go back to this wild game that I saw on Max Preps against University High. You guys won 18-8. But is it true you guys found yourself down 5-0 after the top of the first inning, and then you guys put up an 11 spot in the bottom of the fifth? Just kind of walk us through that game. What was that game like for you guys?
Yeah, their bats came out super aggressive. They got some big hits early in the game. We compounded it with an error or two, and they did get ahead 5-0 in the first inning. Luckily, in the second inning, we were able to put up a 6 spot and take over the lead, and after that, it was back and forth to the end of the game.
So did you feel any panic after University High put up those 5 runs? Cause it's probably a little bit of a shell shock. Again, you guys haven't been down in too many games all season, and especially recently. Did the girls just have to talk to each other during that, or did you try to settle them down anyway?
Yeah, when they came in after that first inning, we let them know, hey, it's early. You got time to make up some ground, try to get the girls to relax a little bit. They were a little pressed, you know, so we knew we could get back into the game, and we did that little by little throughout the game. And again, we've done that all year. When we've been down, we find ways to come back and fight, and that's all we ask from the field.
So who came up big with some of those hits in that game?
Yeah, so that game, you know, we didn't score in the first inning, had some opportunities. Quite a bit of our girls hit the ball hard, put the ball in play. And at the end, I think Mariah Alice hit a 3-run home run, which, you know, put the game out of reach.
And I want to go back to the championship game. It was against Kalinga, right, the 3-1 game. When you guys finally won, you know, they got the last out, and you guys were able to celebrate and field on the field, just describe what that feeling was like for your team.
Division 5, to be able to go back-to-back and do it in Division 4 this year with the group of girls that we have. It was super excited, and for the entire team, and really for the service here.
Yeah. That's what I figured, right? You're driving on the bus and kind of out into rural territory.
Yeah, we're having that fun. I think we're losing a little bit of service here where we're at.
All right. There we go. I got you again, Coach. All right. So I definitely want to talk about about your team more and some of your individual players. You got a really, really strong senior pitcher this year. Just kind of talk about her and what she has, a 0.37 ERA. When you got a somebody that strong in the circle, what does that bring to the team?
I mean, that's huge. You know, she goes, we go. There's no question about it. We need her to be on our game. And the good thing about her is, you know, she usually is. And even if the kid's having a bad day, she finds ways to compete, keep us in the game, and let our offense do its job. We lose you again?
Yep. For a second, we got you back.
Okay. Yeah, it's going through because the mountains here, so it's a little in and out.
Who are some other standouts, Coach, that you have on this year's team?
Yeah, so again, like we mentioned, Adriana Rodriguez, our pitcher, but also on the offensive side, she's very strong. Our catcher this year, Marely Zamora, really stepped up for us. I mentioned earlier we won Valley last year, and the only kid we lost from that roster was our catcher. So to have Marely step in and catch for us the entire year and be strong offensively was huge. And some couple of our hitters, Mara Alice, I mentioned her a little bit earlier, she's coming strong at the end. And then LLR, middle infielder, has been real consistent with her bat in the three. So they're some of our key hitters, but honestly, we have a really deep lineup and constantly different kids step up.
Coach, is this a season that you and your staff have looked for of like, hey, everything should be able to come together? You know, we talked about your senior pitcher. Is this kind of a season that you thought you were going to have?
Yeah, we expect a really good year. Like I mentioned earlier, we lost one kid off of last year's roster. We were hit with the injury bug earlier in the year, but it kind of comes together here at the end of the year where everybody's healthy as can be for after a long year, and things were just heading in the right direction. So we're not surprised with the success. We knew what we had. We knew what work we put in. And again, these girls just like to work, and they're getting what they deserve.
How many coaches do you have on your staff? Because I saw a picture. You got a lot of people helping you, don't you?
Yeah. So I think we have five total coaches on our staff, and then, you know, we have others that help with some of the stuff like stats and social media, things like that. But we have five coaches on our staff.
That's awesome. All right, a couple more questions for you here, Coach. Again, thanks for joining us while kind of a hectic time right on the bus to Santa Maria to play in your championship game. All right, so I mentioned in my opener, too, Woodlake, you know, they're known for a stud softball pitcher back in the day, Kerry Deaver. Three-point star, Cal High Sports Small Schools Athlete of the Year back in the late 80s. Have you ever met her? Do you mention her? Like, do the girls know what a stud softball player she was?
No, you know, I've personally never met her. Obviously heard all the stories, the great stories of Kerry. Know people that know her. So some of these kids probably have no idea who she is, but we've probably met her. we've gone to go see some Fresno State games and remind her, hey, just because you're from a small school, it's been done with people like Kerry Deaver or Amanda Renteria or others that have been successful at Woodlake.
Absolutely. All right, last question for you, Coach. If you guys were to come away with a victory today for a SoCal championship, what would it mean for you and your staff and the girls in the community of Woodlake?
It'd be huge, right? You know, it'd be huge for them. It's a great accomplishment. We've told them to dream big since we met a lot of these girls 4 years ago, so you know, they bought into it, and so far, you know, they've been able to accomplish all their goals, and this is just, you know, the final ride for them.
Well, hopefully you guys could come away with a win. Good luck. You guys have had a great season so far. You got one more. Might as well go ahead and win it all. Thanks, Coach, for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. I was Coach Ramon Lara from Woodlake, and went in and out a couple times, but we held true. He had some good stuff to say, so. Yeah, Tigers are traveling to Santa Maria to take on Pioneer Valley. Only one loss on the year. They could be one of the all-time greats in Woodlake history. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk with Corcoran baseball coach Alan Shaw next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Had a good conversation with Coach Lara, who was on the bus going to Santa Maria. Cut out a few times, but we got through it. So Woodlake's having a phenomenal softball season. We like to give love to our county schools, the schools that are rural, and, you know, the Lindsays and the Woodlakes and Kalingas, even the Selmas, the Kingsburgs of the world. And I've been following this Corcoran baseball team for a while. It kind of came on my radar, like, man, they keep winning games. They keep, you know, putting up these amazing stats. And watched just a couple innings of their Central Section Championship game, Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia, and they put the hurt on Shafter. They had 2 8-run innings, was able to 10-run in. They won the D5 Central Section Championship game, and they are still alive. They won their first 2 games of the D5 CIF State Championship bracket and hosting number 3 Pioneer Valley today at 4 o'clock. I'm definitely going to be following that game on Max Prep. So we got Alan Shaw, the head coach of Corcoran Baseball, on the line right now. So, Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. All right, so when you woke up this morning, what's going through your mind? You nervous? You excited? You got that nervous energy? Did you get like 3 hours of sleep? What's going on with you?
Man, you must have just saw right in my head right there. Very little sleep. just excited for the players and the town. And my players always laugh that I enter my stats at 2 in the morning because I'm up just thinking about the next game. So you hit the nail on the head.
And 4 o'clock, right? I mean, you're used to baseball games probably starting at 3:30. 4 o'clock, is it, like, when you guys take the field, what do you think is going to be going through your mind during that time?
Well, the kids have been pretty confident. They set me at ease when they get out there, and it kind of makes my job easy. These kids have been doing a great job buying into the program and doing their thing. And like I tell them all the time, if we play our brand of baseball, we'll be just fine.
All right, so what about the buzz going on with the town and the school? It's a Saturday game, so there's, you know, there's no school going on today. But, you know, hosting a SoCal regional is pretty cool. You know, it's hosting a big-time baseball game like this. So what have you heard from people? I mean, what kind of crowd do you expect?
Oh, the buzz has been crazy. I go to the store, restaurants. People are walking up, talking about the game, you know, wishing us luck. I'm getting phone calls from other coaches all around the valley, you know, excited for us. My hometown and Lindsay, a lot of people from there have been showing up at games, and just Corcoran's been off the hook. We had to bring in extra bleachers for the games, and they packed it all the way around the whole field. So the buzz has been great. The fans have been awesome, and the kids really responded to the support.
What was school like yesterday? I assume you're on campus, right? You're a teacher, so you were part of the buzz yesterday?
No, I'm actually retired from the Department of Corrections, but I'm at the school all the time because I also coach football, and the buzz is great. The kids are all excited. They had graduation the night before. That was a tough one for us yesterday. They had graduation the day before, and went through all that, and then they had to come back the next day and play a game. So they've, you know, this is extra time from them, for those seniors that have already graduated. So it's pretty cool.
I want to go back. You mentioned you had to bring in some extra bleachers for the baseball field. So those that have never been to Corcoran and seen a baseball field, what how do you describe what the field looks like and the bleachers and how your ballpark plays?
It's a pretty standard small school baseball field. We only had bleachers on, you know, some decent sized bleachers on each side. We brought in 2 more sets to go in the back, so it looks like more of a stadium feel. But we also have a lot of grass area where people can bring their chairs. We have the parking lot in the school where people are parking their cars and kind of tailgating, and so it's a great baseball field. And the feel is awesome when the game gets going, when we have that many fans.
All right, so if I told you, Alan, at the beginning of the year that you guys would be 27-4, Central Section champs, and playing for a state regional title, you would have said what?
We knew we were going to be okay, be pretty competitive. I figure maybe 20 wins, that's pretty standard for a coach. You're excited about that. But then we just got on a roll. And I was like, whoa, we can do some damage here. And we kept going. Kids got better, and so we just kept increasing our expectations, and this is where we've ended up at the top. So one more to go.
One more to go. You have, yeah, you talk about that winning streak. You guys have won 16 games in a row. What is it about the confidence of this team, especially, you know, when you're on a streak like that, when you're, you know, winning games, you know, looking at some of your scores here, 10-0, 10-0, 8-0, 3-1, 2-0. There was another Shafter game that was 18-6, 9-5, and then 4-0 in your last game. Like, what, you know, how does the confidence build with the team when you when you're winning ball games like that?
Well, as you can tell by some of those scores, we have really good pitching and really good defense. It's kind of hard to lose games when you shut people out. I have a great pitching staff. Our defense is really, really good. My assistant coach, Brian Rogers, takes care of that infield, and he's done an amazing job, and it showed in those scores. So the kids know we put up a few runs, we're going to be okay.
So you mentioned pitching and defense. Let's get into the more specific players. Some of your dudes, I mentioned your freshman, and I only got to see a couple innings, but yeah, I was able to identify him pretty easily because he looks like a baseball dude, man. He carries himself very well on the field, but it's not just your freshman. Just talk about some of your superstars this year and what they've brought to the field.
I mean, I got a senior, Ethan Chavez. He threw a two-hit shutout yesterday to get us into the championship game. He's been 9-2. On the season, has like a 1.5 ERA. He's been lights out. He went through league and gave up 3 hits total in 20 innings. So he's had a great season, really, really bought in to what we wanted to do as a pitching staff. Braden Espinoza has been my leading hitter all year, very consistent. He's lights out. When he comes up, he had a big hit in the section championship game, had a bases clearing double. He's only a junior, and so it'd be great to have him back. But Braden's been awesome. And then, like you mentioned, the freshman, Brendan Bochill, he's 12-1, one of the top pitchers in the section. I mean, what a way to bust on the scene.
One stat, again, I love that you put the stats up there. You know, probably at, what would you say, 2 or 3 in the morning, you're putting in stats into Max Preps. But one stat that kind of blew my mind. You're close to 200. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. Close to 200 total stolen bases on the year, 195 stolen bases. So that's about a little over 6 per game. Are you guys just like, man, no one's going to, you know, throw us out? Are you just taking advantage of certain situations?
We like to be aggressive and put pressure on other teams. Pressure makes good teams do tough stuff. So we like to take advantage of it, and it's really, really worked out for us. Hey, we get thrown out once, and we're going to keep on going. And so we've had 10, 12, 14 stolen bases, and it's really, really paid off in our aggressiveness. Plus, it gets our kids aggressive. They're excited. They like to do it. So it's a good stat for us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, go back to your freshman a little bit, Brennan. Like, when did you know he was going to be a varsity guy, right? You hear, I think his brother played for you, was a really good athlete. But, like, when were you able to decide, I think this guy's ready for varsity?
Well, I had seen him in junior high, and he was one of the top players there in town. But he was a little late getting out to baseball because he was on the varsity basketball team that went to the semifinals. And so I get him out there and I go, let's see what this kid's all about. And it took me about 5 minutes. Just watching his demeanor, his warm up. He loves baseball. He's a total baseball guy. And we've been playing him out of position. He's been playing some shortstop for us when typically he's a center fielder. I mean, he's probably a next level center fielder, but he's diehard baseball. He knows the game. And he makes it easy for me.
Well, he has 31 stolen bases on the year, so this kid can do it all.
Yeah.
How about more of the makeup of this team? Just are they, you know, are they dirt dogs? Are they a, you know, kind of a prankster type team, or do they get along really well? Is a good mix of guys? What's kind of the overall makeup of the squad?
I think we have a really good mix of. I got six seniors. I start usually three to four freshmen, a couple sophomores. So I have a really, really good mix. And so, you know, different ages, different experience levels. And so they bond together really well. I think they realized early on that we could have something special. And the seniors, you know, got it going. The freshmen filled in the spots that we needed. And everybody else just did their part. I mean, I can pick anybody out of there, out of our 15 players, and insert them, and they know their role. And that's been the best part of this team, just their attitude. They're fun in the dugout. They're fun at practice. But when it comes down to it, it's business time, and they know that.
And you and I had a good time texting each other last night, and you've been around high school baseball for a long time. We're going to get into some of your high school days in just a second here, but you know, it can be tough, Coach, when you got a mix of freshmen that are coming up and you got a group of seniors, right? And you know all this all too well. You know, if you got some freshmen that come in and they don't quite fit personality-wise with some of the seniors, it can cause some dissension. But it doesn't feel like this team has that issue, does it?
No, I mean, the freshmen that came in have been playing ball for a long time. They're on travel teams. I think these the other players knew that these guys are good, and they would fit in. And this group of seniors had won. I actually coached them as their JV coach when they were freshmen, and we were right on the edge of a JV championship and stuff. So they knew that these freshmen coming in when they were juniors and seniors would fill in the holes. And so I think they embraced that and put it all together, and that's been the glue. So it's pretty exciting.
And it's made your job easy. Easier, I should say. Juniors coaching staff, yeah. I'm curious about your coaching journey to be the head baseball coach at Corcoran High. You did mention that you coach football there as well. What were the different stops that you've been, and how long have you been the head baseball coach?
Well, first I coached 3 years of football in Lindsay, won a section championship there in 2001. And then I coached at Tulare Union for 16 years for football, won a couple of section championships there. I coached 6 years of varsity or JV and varsity baseball at Tulare Union with Kevin Brown. And then when I came to Corcoran, coached the last 6 years of football at Corcoran. And this is my first year as a varsity head baseball coach. So been to a few different places, big school, small school. And I'm just excited that the admin gave me an opportunity to be in this position, being with these group of kids.
So the difference, though, coaching at, you know, you said Tulare High and then Lindsay, what is special about coaching baseball at Corcoran and being involved in the Corcoran community?
You know what, the community is awesome. You know, we're kind of out here by ourselves. I have a really good group of kids. Like I said, I coach football. The kids know how I am when I coach football, and so they were excited to get me for baseball. And so that part, discipline-wise, made it really, really easy. But the kids like having fun. I have a great admin. The principal and the AD, they're both first years, and I couldn't ask for anything better. They make my job easy. They support me. And so that's between the school spirit and the attitude from admin and the crowd. I mean, this is a great, great place to be. I got really, really lucky.
Absolutely. And in your first year, you guys are doing great things.
Yeah.
Corcoran Athletics as a whole have been very successful over the last few years. I've followed their basketball team, got to watch them in the section championship last year. The football teams have been successful. Why is that? Do you know about the youth programs there? Is the junior high pretty strong? Like, what is one of the reasons that Corcoran sports, especially on the boys' side, has been really successful over the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I think we have Little League baseball still here. Some of the towns have kind of dropped that, but we have it, and that's been really, really successful. We have a lot of youth basketball and travel basketball. We do have the youth football, the All Valley. But I think it's pride. We have a really good history here. I mean, this town's played football for, you know, like 100 years. So the history is really, really rich. They take a lot of pride. And because they're kind of isolated a little bit, you know, it's almost like that us against the world thing. So between the pride and a great group of kids, it's nice to have talent. And this was a really good senior class. So it was nice that they got to finish their career here with an opportunity to win a state championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, we had a couple, you know, we do the 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. We had our Student Athletes of the Year banquet not last Thursday, but the Thursday before. We had a couple Corcoran kids, man, some big boys down there that were able to join us, man. What's going on there at Corcoran in the Water? There are some big kids that that you guys have on campus right now.
Oh, yeah, you can't miss Julian Fernandez and Javon Bragg.
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
You know, 6'6", 6'7". I mean, they're big boys, and makes it easy when you're at graduation and you can find them out there. But I mean, they're great kids. They get great grades, very positive in the community, great families, and I think that's showed that you can be part of your community, you can be positive. It's a good thing to get good grades and be involved in your school and family and church and all that stuff. That it's a good thing. That's the cool thing right now. So we've got a good thing going on here.
No, absolutely. And both of those young men that you mentioned, they are big. They're, you know, 6'6" and above. And they were very respectful, and you shook your hand and looked you in the eye. So stuff that you want to see from the student athletes. And you guys have a bunch of them there. You couldn't get those guys to come out and throw the baseball around and hit? Like, come on. You think they can maybe steal a couple bases as well.
Yeah, they had talked about it because they're big, and at the beginning of the year, they're all, "How good you're going to be?" I go, "I think we're going to be pretty good." They're all, "Well, maybe we can play first base." And I'm all, "Come on, man, you can do it." But I would have taken them, but they do track, you know, and they did really, really well, and they're going to be playing at the next level. So I'm excited to go see those guys when they're playing on Saturdays.
Well, they definitely would have filled out the uniform in the baseball dugout.
Oh, like, definitely.
It would have been intimidating.
Yeah.
All right. So when, yeah, exactly. So a couple more questions for you, Coach. Talking to Alan Shaw, the head baseball coach at Corcoran. They're playing today at 4:00 for a SoCal championship against Pioneer. All right. So you mentioned you're from Lindsay. You're a 1990 Lindsay grad. What's it like for you? Be honest. When you guys play against Lindsay, I know you played them in football this year, but man, is it hard for you? Is it difficult? Like what goes through your mind when you play Lindsay?
It was pretty emotional. When I went there and got to go back and walk on my own field, because the last time I was playing there, I won a section championship my senior year. So I know what this is like. And the great thing was a couple of my old coaches were still there. Brett Kendig is the head coach at Lindsay. Jeff Munner was announcing the games. And so it was great to see these people, you know, still there, putting their time in, you know, 25 years later. And, you know, you're seeing kids and grandkids of people that you went to school with and coached and all that stuff. So it was pretty emotional. My parents, you know, still live in the same house where I grew up. So I'm in Lindsay, you know, quite a bit. But it was pretty emotional. And, I mean, they came back and almost beat us. But it was yeah, so they're a good program. But, yeah, to say it was emotional was an understatement.
Yeah, and you and I had a good time last night reminiscing. We realized, hey, we played against each other. Me at Emmanuel, graduate 1989, you, Lindsay. And I got to be honest, we didn't like Lindsay very much. They're one of, along with Woodlake, right? Ironic that I talked to Woodlake softball coach Ramon Lara, and I'm talking to you. But yeah, that drive to Lindsay was, you know, if we're going to drive this far or this far to Woodlake, we would definitely want to beat up on you guys. But we had some really good contests. So I want to ask you though, like, what are some really cool memories? You mentioned the Valley Championship in 1990. That's when we called it a Valley Championship. There were only three divisions back then. So, like, what are some of your really cool memories from playing sports back in those days?
Well, I mean, my obviously being around the players, I won a football section championship in 88, and that really molded me. My coaches molded me into the coach I am. I coach the same style. It's the same way that I was taught with Coach Morelli and Munner and Kendig. And it's almost at times I just flash back and think, hey, I'm still on that 90 team, you know, just making that run like we did. So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. All right, Coach. Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. You got a baseball game to win today. So congratulations on the successful season so far, and good luck today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that was Coach Alan Shaw, Corcoran Baseball. They're trying to make history. They've already made history with that section championship in his first year. I didn't realize it was his first year as a baseball coach, but he's been coaching high school sports for a long time. All right, when we come back, we've got a couple Clovis North Broncos in the house, state champions McKay Madsen and Connor Lott will be joining me on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I know this store very, very well. This is year four of the Central Valley Sports Report. Got one more show next week before I take the summer off and come back strong on August 9th. If you want to go back and hear any of the shows from the past year, I think they might be even archived for the last 3 years, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. Love what I do here. Love talking about all the good stuff, right? There's lots of stuff happening in the world. So I like to secure these 2 hours on air of just talking about the really neat stuff, good stories, feel good stuff. Because I think the world needs more of it, right? That's kind of my soapbox for the day. We got a couple state champs in the house right now from Clovis North. McKay Madsen, double winner for the second straight year in the discus and shot put. And we got Connor Lott, who won the state title in the 1600. Just a great race. Fifth best mark in the nation is what he ran. These two almost single-handedly won Clovis North the team title. We were talking a little bit off air. They got second place all by themselves. They scored the only points for Clovis North. That was almost good enough to win. I think what the winning was it Pauly that got 33 points? Am I wrong on that?
No, I think it was Servite, right?
Servite, 33, and you guys scored 30 points by yourself. McKay, third in discus in the nation, those throws, and then fourth in shot put. Is that right?
Switch, yeah.
That's why I questioned that. As I was reading, I'm like, yeah, I think those are switched. All right. So, first of all, guys, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Does it feel a little weird to wake up on a Saturday and not have to, like, go to a track meet and prepare your body and all that stuff? Maybe you could sleep in a little bit. Is it kind of strange?
It is. I feel like every day has been the same, though, since I've been out of school. I graduated on Wednesday, and so I haven't been in school. I've kind of just been waking up whenever, going to track practice because – still training for nationals soon. But then the day is kind of just up to me. I do whatever. I feel like I'll rot in bed one day, and then the next day I won't even be home all day. I'll just be out and about. It's been weird, yeah.
Connor, what about for you? Like, you know, you run all year, and I'm sure you work out on Saturdays even when it's not track season. Is it kind of a weird feeling today to not really do a whole heck of a lot?
Yeah, coach gives me 2 weeks off every after every season, so I'm enjoying them pretty nice. I've worked out twice this week.
All right. Give everybody a little rest. You earned it. You earned it, Connor. All right, McKay, so you mentioned graduation was last week. It's grad party season as well. My daughter's is tomorrow, so we're preparing the house for that. Like, you had yours on Memorial Day?
Yeah, Memorial Day evening. It was great. We have a pretty big yard, so it was nice. A lot of yard games. Just invited, like, all my football team, Just a lot of people I know have made connections with all the over the years. It was good. It was chill. Nice weather, thankfully. It wasn't too hot. Just a good time. And, yeah, it's fun.
All right, so talk to me about the yard games. What are you playing?
We just have cornhole. Yeah. We set up ping pong. Had some spike ball rolling. And then, you know, nine square?
Mm-mm.
So it's like PVC pipes, and there's nine different squares. It's kind of like cross net. Have you played cross net volleyball?
Okay.
It's kind of like that, but with nine different individual squares and your goals to get to the center, which is like king. And just like however long you can reign as king. There's no like set winner, but it's just fun.
Are you still competitive in those types of games?
Oh, of course. I don't lose.
So you didn't lose at all?
No.
Like cornhole or anything?
Cornhole, no, I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Ping pong, not so much. I've kind of fallen off in ping pong. What sucks is like at your own grad party. It doesn't suck. But like I wanted to go play games, but I still like – there was so many people coming in and
out.
Yeah,
you got to greet them. That's your party. They're coming for you.
Those are lifetime friends.
Yes.
So, although I wanted to go play the games, I was having great conversations with all the guests. So I couldn't.
That's cool. All right. So what you got two older siblings and then two younger. Am I right on that?
Yep.
You're right in the middle.
Yep.
The bar's been set high for these grad parties, right? So when mom and dad throw a big one, right, for one of them, you got to do it for the others.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a taco truck for mine, and that was kind of big. So we'll see. My oldest brother didn't have one because it was COVID years, 2020. My older sister, she did like a candy bar because it was after dinner. So we didn't really want to supply dinner. But mine was good. I think when you have enough people in a big yard like that, they kind of occupy each other and just, yeah. It goes well.
No, people know what to do, especially when you got a taco truck.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a taco truck. All right, Connor. So let's get into some cool stuff. All right. So it's been a week, exactly a week since you ran the race of your life. Right, like, what has this week been for you? The memories just pop in your mind every once in a while. You puff your chest up a little bit higher. Like, yeah, did I really do that? Like, what's this week been for you?
Well, obviously, I guess a lot of I'm very happy about it. I think it was a great race for me. You know, breakout for me. But I've been breaking out in my 1600 since probably about a month ago. So you know, I kind of knew. Going into it, like, yeah, you know, this would be a good one, and now it's something I could kind of revel in, and you know, I get to talk to more. I've been talking to a lot more people, a lot more coaches, stuff like that. You know.
Well, yeah, right. If a coach sees that time 4:03:32, they're like, we got to get this kid. Let's start talking to him. Mm-hmm. All right. So when you cross the finish line, and obviously you know you win, and then you look up at the board at the time. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
I was pretty shocked. Like, I mean, you know, I'd say it was more about 100 meters to go when I kind of knew I was out kicking Ben Bowie. I kind of knew, like, I'm going to win it, and I was just taking it all in. And then I saw the time, and I was like, 4:03, you know? I mean, coach had been training me pretty hard, but I wasn't sure if I'd be able to run that fast, so.
And you did. Like, who was the first person that, you know, maybe gave you a big hug or, like, you really got to celebrate with? Was it a coach, family member? Like, what was the special moment afterwards?
Oh, well, obviously my coach, I hugged him after. But I think actually it was my good friend from Buchanan, Luke Sanders. He was in the race, too. And he led it for three laps. He got third. Did great, you know, awesome racing. So, you know, we're good friends. And, I mean... Yeah, he. I think I've had a moment with him after. He's just a great competitor.
And he pushed you. You pushed you pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah.
all right. You won also the D1 cross country title at Woodward Park. Explain what the difference is between the race and then going on the track.
Well, in that 1600, I believe I was first time in the state afterwards. And in the 5K after that, on Woodward, I was like 17th time from the day. So my race wasn't quite as, like, it was the least competitive of all the races. You know, still state meet race. It was very competitive. Yep. But for me, it was like winning that was like an incomplete victory almost. You know, I have 16 more guys to try and beat.
Yeah.
So winning this one was like, yeah, now all those 16 other guys aren't in front of me. It's me now, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what makes track bigger than cross country even. But I mean, I love cross country too. You know, the hills are always great. So
the hills are great. The hills are great for the crazy cross country runner, man. I shake my head at those guys. All right, McKay. So obviously you're a pretty heavy favorite going into last week and defending your titles. Going in, I'm curious about your mentality going in last year and then defending your titles this year. What was the difference for you?
Last year at this time, like my shot put hadn't really come together yet. It was kind of still struggling. So I was more focused on the discus going into the state meet last year. I was first in California. Not by much, though, because Derek Smith from Buchanan, we were always back and forth all year. So going into kind of focused on discus, shot put was like, yeah, if I make it, I make it. We're just going to do my best, and we'll see what happens. So at the state meet, my first two throws, you get three throws to make finals. My first two throws were fouls, so I had one throw to make finals. Barely snuck in. I was seated like fifth in finals, fifth out of nine. And then my fifth throw, I just popped that one off to barely sneak ahead, get first. That was after the discus. Once I had already won the discus, PR'd to new school record. It was like I was just ecstatic, but still focused because I still had shot put to lock in for. I was kind of – it was with me and Braden. I was expecting us to go 1-2.
Yeah.
Kind of wasn't expecting to take the one spot, but, you know, I'll take it. But then, yeah, just this off season, knowing I was the favorite all season to repeat again this year, it's just – you know, it's a good spot to be in, and it's such a good problem to have, but it is kind of eating at you knowing there's guys that, you know, are just eager and hungry to take over and out-throw you, and I even was told that by a couple of them. They're like, yeah, I'm coming for you, and I was like, all right.
Bring it.
We'll see. I don't want to trash talk because you never know, but I was confident in myself going into this meet. I was probably the least stressed that I've been, you know, just with the margins of lead that I had, and so the goal was just to go out there, first throw, make finals with it, and on both of my first throws in shot put and discus, those would have won. So then anything after that, I'm just chugging.
Bonus, it's gravy.
It's just, it's icing.
Let it loose,
the cake.
Let it rip, yeah.
Yeah, letting it rip, and both on my sixth throws, my last throws, were my best throws in both events last Saturday, so just a great day. I couldn't have asked for a better day. It was the best throwing double day in California history, so it's pretty crazy.
All right, so what, 210, 8, 25 feet more than second place, and that shot throw, right? I watched it probably 15 times online. 69-11.
Yep.
You almost threw it out of, right? It almost didn't register.
Yeah.
Right?
It took a while.
Right? I mean, what are that? I mean, you threw it up against, God, help me out here technical wise. What's it called? The back of?
Just a barrier, backstop, whatever you want to
call
it.
Barrier, backstop. Okay. It kind of almost ricocheted off that, didn't it?
Uh-huh. It hit the pit first, but then right after that hit the wood. So some people like, It was so fast that some people thought it had hit the wood first. I wish it would have.
That would have been awesome. It would have made it.
It would have made it 70. But it just took a while to register, and I was so antsy after that. I was just looking at the board, jumping up and down, waiting to read the 70. And I saw the 69-11, and, you know, that's such a great throw. It was such a huge lifetime PR. But I was just still just like, darn it, you know, the
I think there's a picture of you, yeah. Right? Just got to hold it like,
just an inch,
father.
I can't complain at all. It was amazing.
So what do those throws line up like national-wise as far as like even Olympic qualifying or college? Is that shot throw pretty darn close to like a big mark?
I mean, you can't really compare because the weights are different.
Got it. Okay.
So, but I don't know. It's a good throw wherever, but with the jump to the bigger weights, you take off about 10 to 12 feet. So
okay,
even a 60-foot throws with a 16 is pretty good, but nowhere near Olympic status. Not even close.
All right. What I want to go back just a tiny bit to some of these guys that are saying we're gunning for you, right? We're coming for you. Mm-hmm. Are they saying that tongue-in-cheek, or are they serious about that? What kind of vibe did you get? Come on.
Most are joking, but
okay.
Some were dead serious. And, like, it's – I don't know. I don't know what to say in those situations. I'm just like, all right, let's go.
Point to your distances, right? That's all you got to do.
Like, I love the competition. Like, some quit football and other sports just to train all the way through this season. And sometimes that's not a good thing because you peak at the wrong time,
yep,
or you just get so focused and develop bad habits. So, you know, those guys ended up – some ended up doing really well and some just didn't. but that's just that's how it is.
And you're the state champ. All right. So, Connor, were you able to watch McKay's throws?
I was warming up when he was doing discus.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to watch those. I think shot put, I didn't see any of them, but I did see him when I was running. Like, I saw him in the ring or something.
Yeah,
so.
I was right down there. That's what's great is, like, the shot put is right there on the track. So I was watching his whole race right there on the track, and when he was coming for that last 100, I was just in his face. He probably didn't even hear me.
No, I saw you. That's like my main motivation was like, don't let it go, don't let it go.
It was the greatest thing ever because he just kept getting faster, and I didn't understand it. He just kept pulling away. It was so crazy. It was awesome.
So you were like waiting to throw, and Connor's doing his race.
We were warming up.
Warming up.
And so like I just snuck over just to the edge of the track right there on the inside. And I'm just screaming my lungs off, and, like, I just can't help it. And then Brazil's on the other side of the track screaming, too. It was amazing just watching him just keep pulling away. It was crazy.
I want to go back to that, Connor. So you mentioned the kick, and I saw your interviews on the news as well. Gosh, I wish I was there to see it. Were you just like, I'm just going to put every ounce of every bit of energy I can into that last kick? Was that basically your mentality, or like, I'm just going to basically sprint it to the
end?
Well,
I go into races with a lot of flexibility, and I'd say, like, I definitely, when I decide to kick, I kick hard. I put everything in I can into it, but this one, I kind of talked it over with coach and just decided take over at some point between two laps to go and about a lap to go, but don't take over too hard, and then, you know, when someone tries to move, be the last one to, you know, also move. You know, don't let them get around you, basically. So when Ben Bowie, he around 350 to go, he tried to move really hard, and I just wasn't going to let him. So I just you know, dropped the hammer too, and, you know, we pretty much fought till about 200 to go, and then I think he started to run out of steam, and I just had a little more. But he's a great competitor too, so, you know, no denying he had a great kick, too. Just not quite enough.
Connor, you got a lot of dog in you, man.
Yeah,
you fired me up a little bit. Like, yeah, I was going to let him beat me. All right. I want to play a little game of switcheroo. You guys are obviously different types of athletes. Connor, you're the D1 champ in, you know, cross country, and then the 1600 McKay football player / thrower. Connor, have you ever tried to throw a discus or throw a shot? Like,
no.
What would that even look like for you?
No, I've never tried. But I think I've lifted them up because, you know, occasionally they bounce out onto the track. And so I try and lift them up. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't think I could throw it more than, like, you know, 10 feet.
Like how these guys throw those, right?
Yeah. A discus I've never touched. But those things look – I mean, gosh, I wouldn't throw that very far either.
I know. I think a lot of runners would look pretty silly trying to pick one up and throw it. All right, McKay, what about for you? Obviously, you know, you're a running back, right? You ran a couple sprints. How would you do in a 1600 race?
I would get dead last. I'm not even kidding right now. My mile time right now would probably be like a 7:30, and in my four laps, Connor would probably run 7 or 8. It would be so embarrassing. Like, I haven't ran since my Navy All-American Bowl game in January.
Oh, gosh.
I've just been lifting weights and, like, staying explosive for throws, but I haven't done any running more than 60 yards.
Okay.
I would die.
You know, one lap can wear you out. Twos, you know, getting up there. Threes, kind of crazy. But four, and then the 32. Connor, did you run the 32 at all this year?
Yeah, a lot, actually. The 32 is my main event. So when we decided to do the 16, it was more of like I've been on a roll in it, so we'll decide to go with that. But the 32 is actually my main event. I ran 8:57 at Arcadia, which, you know, sounds pretty – it's pretty good, but there's actually like 150 guys that have gone under 9 this year. It's just the amount of talent in the sport's drastically increasing. So, you know – I was running pretty good, but in the 32, but I was running a lot better in the 16. We decided to just make that the main event for championship stuff, and you know.
Did you run the 32 at Masters?
I did. I ran it at divisionals and masters, and I won it at divisionals, but masters I got second. I just lost the other guy. His name's Tyler. He's a very strong competitor. And I think I ran like 8:58, so that was my second time under 9. It was a good day for me, but just, you know, definitely I was tired from running the 16 that day. So
you did qualify for state for the 32, but just decided not to run it.
I did, and yeah, that was more of a decision on my part, but Coach and I talked it over. You know, we have like 30 minutes after the meet's over to make a decision, and basically just decided, you know, if I'm going to run the 16 as hard as I can, I don't know that I can also run the 32 as hard as I can. And there's a rule for CIF where if you don't put all your effort into every event that you say you're going to do, then you can be DQ'd. It's a very weird rule, but so that's why it's like big deal to make a decision on that. And so, I mean, I just made a decision to put all my focus on the 16 and not even think about the 32, and, you know, decided I'll focus on the 32 next year.
Well, it worked out. Yeah. It worked out. All right. So, Connor, did after the event, we mentioned a little bit, right? You went and, you know, hugged your coach and your competitor from Buchanan. Did some college coaches start contacting you? Pretty quick after that.
Yeah, plenty. And I mean, I've been talking to several coaches already. Most of the coaches, as a matter of fact, that I'm interested in have been talking to me. I think only one new coach that I was, you know, interested in that hadn't reached out before reached out. And I don't know how much I should say about it, but
that's,
you know,
fine. That's fine. Yeah, so it picked up. You could say that.
It did pick up. Good. Yeah. So, but I believe NCAAs for track is next this coming week. It's like next weekend. So, I think there's some rules about they can't reach out during NCAA time. So, probably afterwards, I'd assume I might get more contact. I don't really know. You know, I did pick up.
But Connor, what does your summer look like? So again, you're a junior. You still have your senior year. Like, you got some races to run this summer. You're gonna let your body recuperate. What does that summer look like?
Well, my coach just made me a captain, so I want to set some good traditions for my team. So really for me, it's like I mentioned my 2 weeks. I'm on my 2 weeks, but I'm gonna start having practices. I'm gonna try and do them very structured, and you know, just try and I guess I want to set some good precedent early on, and hopefully, I mean. I have one vacation planned, but for the most part, I'm just going to be here training with the team and, you know, getting them trying to get them all in shape and stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. McKay, all right. So, joking a little bit that you could probably host this show because of the amount of times that you've been on it. You've been very gracious with your time. I appreciate you greatly and following your career. I remember hearing about you your freshman year. Like, hey, there's some stud freshmen. That's playing varsity football. He's going to get some carries. And, you know, I knew of your father as well. You know, you probably had some time to reflect on your mm-hmm. career a little bit, especially this last week. Yep. After graduation, you've won tons of awards. You are 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Year, which was a really cool deal.
That was awesome.
About a week and a half ago. You know, summing all of this stuff up, the state championships, the Valley Championship in football, BYU scholarship, like, what did you want, or what do you want your legacy to be at Clovis North? When people think about McKay Mattson and your time at high school, what do you want your legacy to be known for?
I just want to know that I, like, want others to know that I gave it my all and, you know, tried to be as well-rounded as possible, but that, you know, none of that is possible without the help of everybody, especially parents, coaches and teammates. Like, football is probably the most team sport out of any team sport, and I would have never gotten the opportunities I did without my teammates, and, you know, them supporting me when, you know, maybe they don't have the opportunities that I did, but they never, you know, batted an eye or anything. They just were uplifting and cheering me on and so supportive the whole way through, and coaches doing the same and, you know, promoting me and just like helping me out so much, and then my parents sacrificing all that they have. my siblings too. They get tired of going to all the track meets and stuff, but they still go, and I appreciate it so much. I don't know. That's up for the others to decide, and you know there will be so many more great athletes that come out of Clovis North and the Central Valley. I'm just another one that's honored to be, you know, in the history books and written among them. I don't know. It's just it was kind of not sad, but walking off the on Saturday night, walking out of Veterans Memorial, like taking it in. I played my first varsity football game there freshman year and my last one senior year. I won a championship there, won 4 state titles, you know, at Veterans Memorial. And then I graduated there this last Wednesday. And honestly, I choked up hearing the fight song that they would play every time we'd score a touchdown. They played it as we were walking off the stands onto the same field, and I couldn't like envision, and I still remember like some of the routes on the touchdowns that I would score, and I kind of saw that flashbacks as I was walking out of the stadium. It's just so special, and I'm so grateful for all the opportunities I've had, you know, being named the ESPN Athlete of the Year. Like, that's such an honor, and I'm so grateful, you know, to even be nominated for that, and all the other people there that are just going to go on to do such great things. It's special. And then we got Connor here, and he's gonna lead the torch next year and be one of the next greats that come out of Clovis North in the Central Valley. So it's so special, but could not do it alone.
Well said, young man.
Thank
you. It's
been
a pleasure for a lot of people to watch your career and how you conduct yourself. And, you know, you're going on your mission.
Yep.
Argentina for 2 years yep. before you headed to BYU. And, you know, we're all rooting for you, and we know you're going to do great things for the next couple years and great things after as well. So
thank you.
Absolutely. And Connor, great to meet you. Great race last week, and you got one more year to do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you guys for coming. That was good stuff. Connor Lott and McKay Mattson from Clovis North. These two right here got second place for Clovis North in the state team championship. So thank you guys for coming on. We're going to bring on Greg Clark. He is the athletic director at Clovis South. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Rocky. You had to do it, man. Good call, Tanvir, on the I gave him a list of songs. I had a playlist on Spotify. I'm a big music guy. I'm actually, you know, pretty sensitive to the intros. I got to have a good intro. And I had the Tiger, man. I put out, I think it was last week on X, to me, Rocky IV is like the ultimate 80s movie. Like, Rocky III had Clubber Lane, Mr. T, you know, Mick Dies and all that stuff, right?
Hulk,
you know,
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, right? Thunder Lips. But for me, Rocky IV, right?
The
big
best.
Russian.
The best.
The best.
Yeah.
If I could change, and you can change. He ended the Cold War, didn't he?
Yeah.
Rocky ended the Cold War.
I used to run around my house shadow boxing after watching that. I used to watch that probably once a week when I was a kid.
You had to. Whenever it's on, right, you're scrolling through channels late at night, right? No matter what part of Rocky IV is on the TV, I'm definitely tuned in. I'm not clicking away. All right, if you heard... All right, Greg Clark. It's Greg Clark joining us here at First String Sports. He is the athletic director at Clovis South. I've gotten to know him before COVID, man. When you got the job at Clovis High, when the girls basketball coach over there, I got to know Greg and watch his teams compete. And, you know, whenever I see Greg, I got to have a conversation with this guy. So, Greg, first of all, thanks for coming, man. Appreciate it on this Saturday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, so lots of questions about Clovis South, what that looks like. You're showing me some pictures. We're going to get into that stuff in just a second. But when were you hired to be the AD? Like, when did all that happen? Because, right, it's moving quick.
Yep.
Stuff's moving. So they had to get you in place quick.
Yes, definitely. So I was officially hired in about middle of December. Started the interview process right before Thanksgiving and was officially hired. Right before Christmas time.
Okay. Has it been basically a whirlwind since then? Just your phone nonstop, just blowing up, making calls, getting your Rolodex out, right? Making contacts. Like, what's been the last, like, 4 months like for you?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of work to do. Getting coaches in place. You know, making sure we're getting the right people on our campus for our kids. So, yeah, lots of phone calls, lots of late nights. It's been a fun challenge, though. and a good learning experience for me.
So far, right? Yes. I mean, it's moving into the classroom of the coaching role and now to an AD role. Okay, so just help people out there that are listening and me just visualize where the campus is, what it currently looks like, what it's going to look like. Just kind of create a visual image for us.
Yeah, so we're right down the street from Clovis East High School. So if you go down Leonard and you head south, you're going to run right into our campus. We're about a mile and a half from Clovis East. Our cross streets are going to be Highland and Leonard are the east side and the south, or the east side and the west side of the school. The back side of the campus would be McKinley.
Okay.
And then you can't drive down Princeton right now. That's closed off. They're trying to widen the roads out there to make it accessible for school buses and the amount of traffic they're going to get.
I think I tried that once. I think I tried to go the back way into back there, and yeah, I had to be rerouted. All right, so swimming pool, gym, football stadium, are those things being built on campus? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so they're in the process of being built. So our gym, we'll have two, we'll have a gym for Clovis South, and we'll have a gym for Sanchez that will be ready.
That's the junior high.
Yes, the junior high is Sanchez. We're hoping those are ready for basketball season. November 1st is when those are scheduled to be open. So I know they have crews working 24 hours a day starting next week. Rick Lawson and Harris Construction are out there doing a great job. You know, we took a tour around campus last week. Got to see the academic towers of Sanchez, and I mean, it's going to be a beautiful facility once it's all done. We can't wait to, you know, open up and get our kids on campus.
Swimming pool, yes.
We will have a swimming pool that will not. We'll have two 50-meter pools, just okay, like Clovis North, but those won't be available until the second school year. So we'll have a football stadium that won't be ready until the second school year. Same with a top-loading basketball arena, which will be, again, available the second year of school. So we'll be playing a lot on the road first year. We'll be some road warriors, especially in the fall. You know, all of our sports teams will have to go over to Clovis East, and they've done a great job of, you know, allowing us to come over and use their facilities to help our kids, you know, move forward.
Okay, so 7 through 8, so you're going to have junior high kids on campus,
yes,
this coming fall, and then freshmen.
Correct.
That's the game plan. All right, so as far as sports for freshmen, is it going to be JV sports? Is it going to be freshmen? Is it going to be a wait and see? What's the plan for all those?
Yeah, it's kind of a wait and see right now. You know, we're hoping that we can have some sports teams compete at the JV level. You know, girls volleyball, we have a pretty big following coming. You know, Clovis East's volleyball program has been successful, so we're getting some of those kids to come over. We're hoping we can have a JV volleyball team, but, you know, everything's kind of up in the air. We'll have to wait and see. We have camp starting next week. You know, our volleyball will be running a camp. Our football program has been running a camp for the last month, just get kids involved. I think our first elementary camp, we had about 103 kids sign up for. We had a 7th, 8th, and 9th grade camp football. We had about 75 kids show up. So the numbers are there. You know, we just got to continue to build and you know, bring those kids in and try to give them the most opportunities they can.
Elementary schools. What elementary schools are going to feed in to, yep, to your junior highs?
So we have Fancher Creek. We have Hiriyama. We have TK. We have Boris Elementary and Janet Young.
Kind of put you on the spot on that. Good job rattling
I had to rattle them off.
all right, so are any of those newer schools just been built, or are they all well-established schools?
Yeah, Hiriyama is a fairly new school. They're still doing some construction out there.
Okay.
So that's the newest school I think we have. And then we'll have an elementary that goes across the campus from where we'll currently be located. But they won't start building that for a few years.
Okay. I'm going to go back a little bit to what teams you're going to be fielding. So freshmen incoming this year, you're planning on football, right? Is it going to be freshman football for sure, right?
Most likely freshman football, yes.
Okay. You got a schedule out yet? Are you trying to pick up games? Because we know freshman football, right? It's kind of, you know, gone the way of the dodo bird a bit, which to me is kind of sad, right? Freshman football is a great experience for a lot of kids. Like, Are you having trouble picking up games? What does that look like for you guys right now?
We still have to wait for some schools to figure out numbers. We have 8 games scheduled now, so we're trying to get a full 10 game schedule going. So
okay.
Still working on a few schools. They'll let me know as we get into summer and then back to school what their numbers will look like, and then we'll go from there.
All right, so football stadium built in year 2 when these kids are sophomores. Have you seen blueprints? Has ground been broken yet? Like, what can we expect from a football stadium?
So ground really hasn't been broken yet. They're gonna start the top loading gym next week.
Okay.
And that will sort of build out. So they're kind of building west of our campus. So currently right now we have our Sanchez gym and our South gym. And then once that's finished, then they'll start building the top loading gym. And then as they build that, then the football stadium will start to be built as well.
So La Monica veterans and you guys.
Yes.
Right?
It's exciting.
Right? Naming and all that stuff, is that just down the path as far as like naming the football? I mean, am I getting ahead of myself here with that stuff? But, right? I mean, that's going to be a big deal, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Naming the stadium.
Our campus is named after Terry Bradley. It's the Terry Bradley Educational Center. So I'm sure that something will be named after another Clovis legend at some point. But right now we're sticking with the Terry Bradley Educational Center, and we'll see what we can do from there.
All right, got it. All right. So one of the biggest parts of your job is getting coaches.
Yes.
Right? So how has that been? How many coaches do you have in place? Who are some names that you can speak of?
Sure. So, I mean, always trying to find coaches to come in, especially just trying to build a freshman program for the ground up. It's a difficult thing to do. And, I've been out trying to find the best people to bring to our kids. I have a pretty good feel for building programs, through my time in Clovis. And so really finding the right people to put in front of those kids is the most important thing for me right now. I was fortunate enough to – Benny Martinez is going to be our first football coach. You can't find a better person, a better man than Benny, and he's going to be great for our kids and great for our program as we continue to build. I was fortunate enough to hire a kid who was the first basketball player I recruited when I was a junior college coach back at Delta College in Stockton back in 2003. His name's Chris Walker. He'll be coming in coaching our basketball team. Chris was the state player of the year in 2005 at Delta College, went on to play point guard at Oklahoma. So he's having a little bit of a rough time being a Longhorn, but he'll get used to that. But, just a great human being. Good. He's going to be great for kids, bringing him on. Mason Ricks is going to be our girls basketball coach. Aaron Pinworthy, baseball. We have Eric Baltier coming over from Edison High School, be our softball coach. So we're getting things put in place, still hiring a few coaches. It's really getting down to those 7th and 8th grade levels. It's not just the high school we're hiring for. It's also getting good quality people in those 7th and 8th grade levels. And, you want to try to find those people, those good coaches, jobs on campus. And, when we're such a small, intimate campus to start, we don't have as many jobs as some of these schools that are, have the traditions they have, and they have more sections. So we've had to be very selective about the people we bring on, and I'm looking forward to working with those coaches.
Yeah. I mean, putting those names that you just said in front of the kids, right? Like Benny Martinez, great guy at Clovis North. Whenever I, go go visit a practice. Hey, Paul, how you doing? Right? Just kids love them, gravitate them. Those are the types of coaches and people that a school like Clovis South that's basically starting from scratch. Those are the types of people that you need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality of the situation is we're going to have freshmen on our campus. Those kids are going to be the oldest kids on campus for 4 straight years. So we need to put mentors and good people around them to be able to model the behaviors that we want our kids modeling on a day-to-day basis. So, bringing in those special type of people to be able to make those impact on kids is an obviously a part to the equation of hiring coaches too.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm curious more on the camps that you're talking about. Like, are there some dates if people are listening, like, hey, Sounds cool. Like, what are these camps? What do they look like?
Yeah, so we'll be having basketball camps. Since we don't have a gym, we'll be using Gateway's gym this summer. So we'll have basketball camps starting next Monday. Those kids come in from 8 to 10. They'll get to work with our basketball coaches there. We have volleyball camps starting. So our volleyball coach, Maddie Dinsdale, is coming over from Clovis West. So she'll coach our badminton team as well.
Okay.
She'll be doing free camps for kids out at the elementary school. So she selected one elementary school per week in our area to go out there and do grass volleyball in the morning for free. And then she's bringing them over to Gateway in the afternoon for high school practices for 7th, 8th, and 9th.
You being a basketball coach, right? You mentioned the exciting boys basketball hire that you have. Like how awesome was that? Like, was that like a splash hire for you? Like, man, this is really cool. I got one of my guys.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I look forward to working with Chris. I mean, it's a special moment for me. It's full circle as far as, you know, that's the first student athlete I was able to recruit when I was a coach with Brian Katz at Delta College. So seeing his growth throughout the years. He was a assistant coach with Brian up at Sac State for 10 years and then moved on, and he's been an assistant at Cal State Fullerton the last four. So the knowledge that he brings, the Division I, you know, he has a lot of connections that he's going to be able to bring for our kids, you know, and a lot of knowledge. So, yeah, it's full soccer for me. It's pretty neat.
It is neat. I want to ask you, too, about – how you present the Clovis South idea to your coaches, right? Like, are you say, hey, what a great opportunity for you to really establish your own program, go in the direction, obviously, with your guidance as well. Is that one of the ways that you try to sell the Clovis South, you know, experience? Like, hey, you get to be the first, you know, director of sport potentially, right? I mean, is that one way
that was what really sold me on the job. I mean, to be able to be the first athletic director of a school and really lay the foundation for the way we want our athletics ran was important to me. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and I'm honored that I was hired for the position. So, yeah, I mean, all the coaches, same way. They're going to make a difference by building that foundation for our school this first year and really training our kids the right way we want to do things and the right way we want to compete. Our main focus first year is not going to be on wins and losses, really just a growth process and really making sure that our kids understand that, you know, we're working for today for where we're going in the future, you know, and make sure that their mindsets are stay put on that.
What is the mindset? What does Clovis South want to be known for? We're going to get into the Longhorns in just a second here, but like, what do you want the Longhorns to be known for?
We want to be a respected sports programs and people, you know, when they play us, I want people to say that we do things the right way. Our kids go out, we compete hard no matter what the score is, and we're going to challenge you until the end. So really just hard work, building on good days and, you know, trying to be better than you were the day before is really a main focus of mine.
How do you see yourself guiding these coaches, right? You know, you were young, we all were young coaches at one time, right? And, you know, you maybe went in one way, a different way, and you look back like, yeah, I could have done this a little bit different, but then you grow on that and you have experiences and you learn. Like, how are you as an athletic director? You mentioned some great people that you're bringing in already. How are you going to be able to guide and mentor these coaches starting a program?
I think just giving them some of the experiences that I've had over the 20 years I've had in athletics. And, you know, I've had some really great mentors in my life that have taught me just the right way to run programs and really treat people. You know, it's really an emphasis of ours to make sure our kids know that we care about them. You know, we do want to win and we want to compete on the field, but, you know, getting good grades and making sure that those kids are taken care of psychologically and physically is a huge emphasis of mine as well.
As competitors, right? Sometimes you know, in our younger days, I think of myself as a coach and athletic director too, right? You want to compete at the highest level. You want to win. How did it take you a while, Greg, to think of like more of the overall, what you're trying to develop young men and women to prepare for the next level, college, be successful there, and then out in life? Was that kind of a process for you like it is for a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, I had to learn that process on my own through going through it. I mean, like I told you, I've had great mentors. So Brian Katz was somebody that, you know, really guided me in a lot of the habits that I take nowadays with me to work, you know, teaching me how to study. When I got to college, you know, we had study hall for 2 hours every single day. So I had no, I couldn't get out of doing homework or this and that. It was, he made sure that we went to class and we got our schoolwork done. So trying to provide that with for our kids, our student athletes, we'll have a Longhorn hour during the week where our student athletes will have to go in and be taught how to study. You know, it's not just, hey, sit down and get this work done. You know, it's training the kids and teaching them how to prioritize their time and making sure that they're getting their schoolwork done before they go out on the competition field. And then, you know, once they're done with that, they can go home and enjoy time with their families instead of having to go and get work done.
You know, that's right. That's important.
We want to try to get those things done before we hit the field.
Absolutely. Family time is important. All right. Talking with Greg Clark here, the athletic director at Clovis South, which is going to be just south of Clovis East. What did you say, about a mile and a half?
Yeah, it's about a mile and a half. Gosh. It's not far.
Gosh, that's crazy. The Longhorn, we talked about the brand a little bit. Were you involved with the color scheme? Or are we calling it burnt orange?
Yeah, what are we calling it? Texas orange. It's just a shade off of Texas orange.
Okay.
Really. So, you know, depending on what brand we're buying, you know, that'll depend on the color. But, yeah, it's a Texas orange.
Well, you hear it at First String Sports, man. I'm bringing you in. First String Sports is getting business from you. So were you involved at all with the naming? Or are you just like, hey, I heard we're going with the Longhorns. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, all of those decisions were made, you know, before I took over. But I love our Lucky. Lucky is the name of our Longhorn.
Okay.
The logo itself, I love. So the color scheme is great. I'm going to have fun designing uniforms and, you know, making sure our campus is branded the way it needs to be. And that Longhorn looks really nice.
What kind of gear do you got? So you're rocking the polo right now. What other gear you got? You got the hat yet? You got the the slim fit shirts. What do you got?
I don't know about. we're in the process of getting all that stuff out. You know, on a day-to-day basis, we're trying to, you know, prepare for next school year. So yes, that's one of the aspects of the job that I've been doing. Definitely.
When you wear that, have people said what is CS and why is there a Longhorn there? Have you had people wonder about that yet?
Yep, it starts some conversations. Definitely, a lot of people have questions. A lot of people are excited. You know, people in our area that'll be coming to our school. You know, change is hard for some kids, but. You know, we're trying to get them enthusiastic and get them excited about coming to our campus and being Longhorns.
I agree. I'm excited for you guys. Greg, you know, I've known you for a while here. We've had some really good conversations. I've enjoyed getting to know you over the years. When I heard your athletic director, Clovis South, I'm like, boom, they got the right guy to start their athletics program. So I appreciate you, and you're going to do great stuff there.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you very much. And hey, I want to congratulate you and your daughter. Oof. Daughter's graduating from Bullard High School or graduated. You guys are having her party tomorrow here. So congratulations on that, and congratulations to your daughter.
I appreciate that. And next time I see you, you got to hook me up with some Longhorn gear.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
That way I could promote as well. All right. So, Greg, thank you for coming. Really appreciate you. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Tanvir, who's produced the show. McKay Madsen, Connor Lott, Coach Lara from Woodlake, and Coach Alan Shaw from Corcoran. They're playing the championship game. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.